Welcome to Fold in the Cheese, the recipe for fantasy football success. We are your hosts, two average dudes, watched a lot of football, played a lot of fantasy football, and our wives told us to get real jobs.
And we said pass. We would much rather talk about football instead, so here we are. This is a podcast for those who are just starting in the fantasy football. We want to bring some knowledge to help you get started. We'll be here along with you on the whole journey throughout the season, checking in with players and seeing who we should sit, who we should start, all that fun stuff. And for those who are a little more advanced, don't worry, we got some stuff for you too.
Yeah, so if you're a casual fantasy player and you're tired of not winning, we're going to change that for you. If you never played before and you feel like, hey, I think I'd like to play this and I think I'd like to win my first time through, we're here for you too. Let's make this happen. Get some W's.
Let's get it.
Welcome back to Folding the Cheese. It's your boy, K-Troll, hosting this ep. I'm back in action. Ready to rock and roll.
He is back.
I'm back, baby. And as always, my co-host, the man who did an incredible job filling in while I was out, my main man.
Let's not get crazy.
The Starsky to my Hutch, Ethan Gelfand. What's going on, brother?
How we doing, sir? Glad to have you back. It's a little weird not doing it with you last time, but we made it through it. I think we did all right together.
Somebody's got to walk those ducks. You know, they're not going to walk themselves.
Exactly. You know, we each know our role. You got duck duty. It's cool. We're back, though.
We've all been there. You know, you drive around sometimes and you're by like a lake or something and you see like a whole crew of ducks just walking across the street, poor things, and no one's walking them. And I'm always like, where's your owner? Who's walking you?
I mean, I think you should win the Walter Payton Award for this year. I mean, the Sportsman of the Year for the NFL.
I technically need to be nominated, but if you're offering, I will accept the nomination.
So yeah. Just when we continue doing the podcast, you get the little patch on your shirt or just something? So you always have it on your
uniform. Yeah, I will. I will have it on there. Yeah, and I can put it on my avatar. We could add it to the art, the cover art that we have as well. We put a little patch on my guy on there.
Can we actually just put it in your beard, that glorious, luscious beard of yours? Just like to slap it right on there.
I'm working on a second COVID beard currently. Yeah, I'm doing my best.
I've been working on a beard since 2004, and it's still on its way. It's still coming in.
It looks really good on the corners of your chin. Those parts are coming in really strong. It's the sides of your cheeks and like the middle of your chin, like that area. Still trying.
You pointed to all of me. Keep trying.
Keep trying. Yeah, for a lot of things, really. It's just a general statement for you. Today is going to be a fun episode. We're going to cover the Yahoo draft, the draft that we have had for 17 years. This goes back to college. This has got a pretty wild crew in it. It's been a good time.
I can't believe it's been 15 and we're actually still friends after that amount of time being in this league. But you know,
it's been off and on. It's been off and on, yeah. As fantasy will do. There have been several fights, but it's been a lot of fun. We've got a lot to talk about that.
We have had some people kicked out, haven't we?
We have booted
Stonehands.
People.
Stonehands.
You know what? Stonehands kind of got booted from life, really. But yeah, Stonehands has been booted. Yep, that was a life boot and a necessary one. It's okay. You know, every now and then you just got to kind of go through that friend list, right? And just take a swipe.
Hey, for all of our older millennials, we all remember Instant Messenger. My buddy and I had an Instant Messenger Survivor where we would literally cut friends from his friend list each night. And it got intense, you know?
I remember that. It was actually pretty arbitrary for the most part. There were some challenges arbitrary. In there. Yeah, there were some challenges in there. So they were like, you know, whoever can go pick up my car out of the satellite parking lot and bring it to me gets to stay on another week, that kind of thing. But most of it was just... trivia, or I didn't like the shirt that guy wore.
Open to bribes. I was very open.
Yeah, it was quite the enterprise. I never understood the rules. I made it fairly far a few times, but never could solidify a top spot.
How it worked is I would literally go through my buddy's friend list, and then I'd say, okay, each night I'm picking four names. You got to at least cut one from each of these people from these four names. You have to take them off your friend list. No explanation. You just take them off. No longer talk to them in a messenger. And we literally did this for, a few weeks until we got down to one person on his friend list. And that was not you. I'm sorry.
It was not me. I didn't, to be fair, I kind of didn't really know I was part of a game. And I caught
actually,
on.
Most people didn't. Most people did not know. Like, wait, I didn't even know we stopped talking. So
it started catching buzz after a while. And people were kind of like, hey, have you heard from that guy? And it's like, And then like finally it's like, have you heard from him? Like, oh no, you must have gotten cut because he's playing this one. And like all of a sudden everybody knew about it. It's like, oh, all right.
It was actually kind of revolutionary at the time, really playing off Survivor. It was fun.
Yeah, it was like a Survivor plus a MySpace where you've only got like eight friends or whatever that you can keep in like your top eight or whatever. So some combination of those. But anyway, this league's been going on a long time. We're going to get to football and we're going to talk about the draft that we just had. Yeah, we're going to talk about the draft that we just had this past week. Wednesday night, always the night before the season gets started. And it was a doozy as always. Had some good trash talk. We had lots of snaking of picks.
We had some homer picks.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of folks in this league. So we got some of those moments. And then Ethan and I have decided that we're going to have some season-long bets that we're going to keep track of. So got a couple players we're going to plant our flag in and say, this is my guy. And Ethan's going to say, nope, this is my guy. And we're going to see who comes out on top at the end of the year. We're going to keep doing some week-to-week bets as well, just to keep things fun. But we're going to come up with
and
a nice little bet.
Feel free to comment on the Facebook page or send us a message of what you think the loser has to do. We have not yet determined that, which I think could be interesting, but bets are going to be fun and we'll see. You'll hear about those later.
Yeah, we have not determined that and we will do anything, absolutely anything. So just just get those bets, get those loser punishments coming.
Keep that in mind. We will do anything. We have no shame.
No shame. We are hosting a fantasy football podcast. So, you know, what do you know? All right, let's kick this thing off. So to tell you just a little bit about this league, this is a 10-teamer. It's on Yahoo. It's a PPR league. We've got one quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, a tight end, and a flex. I think I told you in a previous episode, I kicked out kickers and defenses, drove me crazy. And I have been the commissioner of this league for probably 12 or 13 of the 17 years it's been going. In this league, it started in college, and so it's still predominantly our college friends. They're all over the country at this point, but we've had to add some folks due to the, friend list Survivor that we've been playing.
The elimination.
In real life. Through real life friend list Survivor. And so we've got some homers in here. We've got Atlanta folks who love the Falcons. We've got a Kansas City fan who's not from Kansas City. We've got Titans fans, a couple Tennessee folks. Ethan over here is our Pats fan, Patriots. We've also got some folks who are college homers. So if you live in the Southeast, you are in SEC country. So you'll see some of the picks that come with our Bama and UGA grads and folks like that as well. We've all got kind of our guys we can't quit lists. We all know we're known for taking these guys. It's been people like Doug Baldwin for me in the past. It's been Raheem Mostert. It's that kind of folk.
Joe Mixon.
Always getting
for
injured.
Me.
Joe Mixon for Ethan.
Yeah.
Can't quit you, Joe. Tore it up this weekend, though.
And of course, I quit him this year. I quit.
You quit him this year. That's how it works.
I digress.
We've covered three different time zones. We got to find somebody in the Mountain Standard time zone. We don't have any friends, and that's like a total blind spot for us.
Can we get someone in Japan who would be in tomorrow? It's like they're telling the future.
I already have someone. That's why I'm always so good. They always tell me it's like a Back to the Future almanac thing. So my teams are always so money. And this year, Ethan drew the two spot, which is not his favorite. He was really hoping to be in the
eight to 10 late swing, but no,
yeah,
I did not get it. I got the two. I'm actually not very well versed in the two. I feel like honestly, in all the years we've done this draft, I have never been in the top four. I don't know why, but it's just kind of, that's how it's fallen. Two is not my most favorite spot, but I think I read somewhere two is actually the least successful spot in across all leagues. If you look at the numbers, that is the lowest winning percentage is at the two spot. So I got that going for me, but hey,
you know what? We're going to turn that luck around this year, aren't we?
Let's buck that trend.
That's right. I ended up in the seven spot, which is one of my favorite spots this year. Specifically, I like six a little bit better, but I ended up in seven. I was okay with that. And you'll see kind of how it unfolded for both of us as we go around through our teams here. First round was pretty chalky. We're talking about first two rounds here are usually going to go mostly to script. You don't want to screw things up here. You can if you go way off script and do a homer pick or, you know, take that guy that you heard about was going to be great. I've seen someone like Trey Sermon goes like way, way too early, you know, because he's getting all this hype in camp. You don't want to get cute here. So first two rounds are pretty chalky for the most part. Our first round, nine running backs and Davante Adams. So that's how chalky it went. I mean, guys, they know this league history. They know you got to go running back early. And so they did. And so even the ranking of those nine was mostly chalky. I saw Kamara drop to five, which is a little surprising. But,
I see
that's
him
sort of
preference.
Always,
was going to say, he's always in that 3 to 5 range. As you said, preference, whether or not you go with him, who's going to get a couple more receptions than a Derrick Henry. But yeah, you know, you looked at him towards the end of last year. He was one of the best players in the first, 10 weeks, 11 weeks of the season. Then he had a little bit of a slide. Granted, it's a different quarterback for a few games with Taysom Hill in there. But yeah, Kamara, anywhere from 3 to 5 is pretty standard.
And I get the nervousness with the quarterback situation there. You didn't know Jameis was going to throw five touchdowns on 150 yards. So you weren't sure if Taysom Hill was going to get in there more at the goal line. So I understand it for sure. No real complaints. Eckler went at 6.
Real quick about Kamara, though. Do you think any impact about Latavius Murray being cut right before week 1? Did that make any difference for Kamara and his stock?
I would have thought that would have shot him up a little bit, honestly.
Yeah.
I think Tony Jones is a little bit more like Kamara than he is Murray. So like maybe people think they're actually going to spell him for an entire series more. I don't know. But I would have thought getting rid of Murray would have meant, hey, it's even more the Kamara show.
Okay.
Who knows?
Fair.
In this draft, Eckler went at 6, which is higher than I've typically seen him go. I thought that was a little bit surprising. It's not a bad pick by any stretch, but it was a little earlier than I'd seen him. And that's one of those situations where if you think he's as good as the top tier guys, which a lot of analysts do, and you know he's not going to come back to you, then go ahead and take him. You know, if you've got a preference, you got 10, 12 really good stud running backs. If you know one of them you absolutely want to get, he's not going to make it back, go ahead and jump on it. So I don't have an issue with that.
Well, I mean, for the pick at 6, that guy's not going to get his pick again for 10 more picks. So he probably wouldn't have been there in the second. So yeah, again, if you're high on Eckler, go out on a limb, go for him at 6, because he wasn't going to get him 10 picks later.
So I was right after him. And I can tell you, if Eckler had made it to me on the second round, he wouldn't have gotten back to him. I would have taken him. So
there you go.
Yeah, I know he wouldn't have made it back. So I didn't have any issue with that. It did land Jonathan Taylor in my lap, which I was pretty excited about. And you got obviously Dalvin Cook at 2, which is the money pick.
I figured it's a great safe bet, although he did kind of hurt me. One of the guys I couldn't quit, because I did have him a couple years ago. He did get hurt for most of the season, so it was a little sour taste, but obviously the past 2 seasons he's been unbelievable. So no brainer at 2.
Yeah, these guys, I mean, the injury stuff, you can predict some of it. Like some guys are more known for it, but a running back position is just ramming into people all game. It's tough to stay healthy. So you got to go with the talent there, and he's freakishly talented. One thing I thought about leaving this was I had my shot at Saquon, and in my rankings, I technically had Saquon at 6 and Taylor at 7. And so here you are, you know, put your money where your mouth is. And I kind of wigged out, honestly, you know, I felt like
Saquon is such an enigma this year. He has such immense talent. I mean, you saw it his rookie year. Hell, I remember his rookie year, you had both him and Christian McCaffrey, which looking now is unbelievable, especially in a PPR league where both of them were averaging about 8 to 9 receptions alone. But it's just so crazy, you know, one freakish injury at the beginning of last season. And now Saquon, I've seen him go as far down as 15, which is unthinkable when the past 2 seasons he's been drafted 1 or 2 in those 2 drafts.
Well, especially in those 12 team leagues, you see him really drop, because that's when you know you got one shot at a top running back. Mm-hmm. And if your top guy is Saquon, your next guy might not be, you know, this might be a third tier running back. And so you're like, am I going to put that much weight on it?
Yeah, just like they are not putting that much weight on his knee, because they're worried about that knee. They want it to heal because he is a franchise player, and they don't want it to, they're not taking any risks with him. You saw it week 1. He only got about 9 carries. I think they were trying to limit his workload to about in the 10 to 12 range, and they stuck to it. So that's why he's a question mark. You know, do you take a run at him, a risk? But Kemp didn't feel it, and he went with his boy Jonathan Taylor, which I think is a great value pick, because he's going to be great for the Colts. He was great last year with his rookie season. And in these, you kind of got to go with your gut. And I liked Kemper's gut pick here.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way about Travis Kelce during the mock drafts we did. Every time he got to me, you know, 8 to 10 range, which is where I would normally tell someone, hey, be comfortable taking him there, I still just couldn't pull the trigger. I was just like, I don't know. It's a tight end, man.
It's still in the back of your head. It's a tight end. You're like, I can't take a tight end first round.
So after skipping on Saquon, he went 8th overall right after.
He went right by.
I was like, he said, I'll take him. I'll jump right on that. Second round. So some of the highlights. Kelce ended up going 15th. So I think a lot of people were kind of wigging out about that, you know? So I think a lot of people were thinking, do I do it with a tight end so early? Man, it's so early. He's a difference maker for sure on your roster. Mm-hmm. But again, in this league, people know you go running back, or else you're going to be in trouble.
And to tell you the truth, Kelce, you kind of also just look at as another wide receiver because he puts up wide receiver numbers. But again, it's still that stigma of a tight end. But I think at 15, I think it's a good value there. It's your second round. You're not wasting your first round pick on him. So 15, which is mid of second round, I think that's good there. The rest of the top tier running backs are taken. So then you got my boy Joe Mixon, where again, maybe it is the same height as Saquon. He's got the talent, but he hasn't shown it consistently. He's getting hurt. He'll just have games off. So, I think Kelce's a good pick there with Joe Mixon being your kind of second tier, even third tier running backs. I like Kelce at 15, seeing what running backs were left.
And what's interesting is the guy who got Kelce is the same one that jumped on Eckler a bit early. So it kind of paid him back a little bit. He ends up getting Kelce later than he should have gone. He took Eckler maybe earlier than he may have gone otherwise. So ended up working out pretty well for him. The rest of the top tier running backs are gone this round. So Mixon's kind of at the tail end, I think, of that first wave of top tier guys. Mm-hmm. This round, they're pretty much all gone now. We got a resident Chiefs fan jumping on Tyreek Hill, which was not like early necessarily, but you're always like rolling your eyes when these guys take the guys. You're like, I know he's going to take, and there he goes, Tyreek Hill, gone.
And there he is. But at the same point, Tyreek was going in some first rounders between him and Devontae Adams. It was basically a toss up as to which is the first wide receiver off the board. So even though it was a homer pick, Tyreek at 12, great.
Still great. And I had him number one over Devontae for sure in my rankings. I think I even had Devontae down at 4 or 5. So I would have jumped on it too if he was sitting there, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Bama fan takes Calvin Ridley at the end of the second, which again is not a bad leap to take him that early. But again, you knew if you passed on him, you weren't going to see him again.
Exactly. Because again, he's going to have such a long wait because he was at the one swing. So he wasn't going to get him. So a slight reach, definitely worth it for him for sure.
Yeah. So in this one, I took Antonio Gibson at 14, one of the guys I feel really, really good about this year. I think he's going to get a big workload. A lot of passing volume as well. His second year being a full-time running back. Pretty stoked about that. And as I mentioned, I wanted to go running back this year, and I did. And it just worked out that the right guys were there for me. Ethan, unfortunately, at the end of that run, had already missed out on Mixon and ended up taking DeAndre Hopkins as a consolation prize. I don't think he was upset about that.
I was going to say, I'll take that consolation. And again, at that point, the top tier running backs were gone. So I knew I had to go with the best talent and definitely at the wide receiver position. And Hopkins is just too good to pass. And interestingly enough, I did pass on Calvin Ridley. So the Alabama fan could get him right after me.
You're a good friend.
But I liked Hopkins. I'm a great friend. And tell you the truth, Calvin Ridley was a guy I couldn't quit. I had him and I think it was probably his rookie year, so maybe not be fair to him, but he was just too inconsistent for me. I was a little worried about Atlanta this year. I just like Hopkins too, his size, what he can do in Arizona. So I was perfectly happy with Hopkins at 19.
Such a freak, man.
Oh my God.
And I thought it was noteworthy that Mahomes made it through the whole second round. So in a lot of drafts, I saw mocks and other leagues I was in, he was going first or second round in this league. So these guys have kind of learned the crowd a little bit to know not to jump on quarterbacks because we all, several of us like to wait on that. And I think especially this year, they've probably been listening to the podcast too. They're probably very well knowledgeable.
Great advice.
Yeah. They're using it against us. And we'll get to that here in just a second. third round. Oh, here we are. Third round.
Hey,
so third round. My freaking brother snakes me with my man, CD Lamb.
Wait, are you high on CD? I can't remember. Do you like him?
About jumped through the phone on that one. this dude doesn't know anything about CD Lamb, doesn't care anything about CD Lamb. All he knows is he heard about the podcast and he wanted to piss me off.
He heard the first two episodes. He's like, who is this CD Lamb character? I might take a reach on him.
Yeah, what a jerk. He went at number 24. He's at ADP. Average draft position is 33.4. So just so you know, it's a 10 position reach just to be a jerk. And then he drops a very casual, oh shit, in the chat room.
Yeah. Okay, but Cam, would you, so you picked after that three picks later, were you going to take CD there? Or were you thinking he might make it back to your round in round four?
I was definitely hoping he'd make it back to me, but wasn't sure if he would.
Would you have taken him in round three? Three picks later sure. than when he got taken.
Sure.
That was your plan? You would have taken him? Okay.
I didn't have a plan yet. I mean, I had a basic plan, which was I want to get CD on my team. But as I'm looking at the board, it's going to be based on like, hey, okay, if his name is on the, his name is one of those names, I think, when it shows up on the board, it draws attention to it. People are like, ooh, that's a flashy name, right? And it's not just like, I don't think I'm the only person who's high on him. So when his name is on the board in front of you, you skip through some other people that maybe a higher draft pick normally, because you're like, I want to take that flashy name. So if his name was on the board, like when my brother took him, his name was not like, you couldn't even see his name because he was 10 picks or 11 picks down.
I was going to say, to put it in comparison, in that round in that round alone, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wide receivers taken. So Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, Allen Robinson were already gone. So they were not in the conversation. Then your brother takes CeeDee Lamb. So here's who is still available. Keenan Allen. You see him going pretty high. Amari Cooper. And then a Terry McLaurin. Now, would you have drafted any of those three guys above CeeDee Lamb?
No chance. No. Okay. No chance.
That's fair then.
I had CeeDee's ranked as like my fifth, number five
you
overall.
Extremely high on him.
Receiver this year. But, yeah, I would have jumped all over that.
But with that seventh pick in round three, do you think he would have made it back to round four with those names who were still on the board?
Probably not. Okay. So that's the thing. Like the receivers, as Yahoo has them ranked at least, so and that's the ratings that show up in the draft room. As Yahoo has them ranked, if it had gotten to me, and let's say one of those was gone, like Keenan Allen was gone or something, and it was like Terry McLaurin, CeeDee Lamb, Allen Robinson, I'm not having a lot of faith that three other guys after me are going to skip on CeeDee Lamb twice. So I'd feel right. At that point, I got to take him.
Okay.
So yeah, okay. I really think I would have. I think it would have. It doesn't matter because my brother's a jerk.
Creighton. Screw you, Creighton. We'll get to Creighton later too, by the way.
We will get to him. All right, so we got Mahomes, who went 25th here. So he finally decided to go off the board there.
Off the board.
And Darren Waller goes at 28. That was the second tight end off the board. Chiefs fan takes Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 29. Those are kind of the notable things from that round. Ethan gets a shot at AJ Brown at 22 to double back with DeAndre Hopkins. That's a pretty killer duo for the receivers. And then I take David Montgomery. Since CD is off the board, I decide to just cry in my hands for a while and just took another running back. Montgomery at 27.
Having three running backs who are arguably in the top 15, I mean, that's a pretty good consolation, I would say. Considering at this point I have one running back. I have one.
Yeah. That is true. And at this point, you know, because you can start three because we have two running backs and a flex.
Yep.
But you could also load up on receivers, and there's so much receiver depth that at this point I'm thinking I honestly might not draft another running back. You know, I could run, as long as they have different bye weeks, I could run through these three guys and be fine the whole season.
Well, and to be honest, when I drafted AJ Brown at the beginning of the third round, I was torn because I still didn't have my second running back, and there is such wide receiver depth. But I just didn't necessarily see the running back's value for the second pick of the third round. Like, I like a David Montgomery. I do. I like Edwards-Helaire. But I couldn't necessarily justify it for the second pick of the third round and then having to wait so long to then get another pick for me. So I just felt like I had to go with AJ. He's on, you know, a top-tier wide receiver. And to pair him with DeAndre Hopkins, I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I would be too. I think he did the right thing. I mean, that would have been early to take a running back, and it would have been out of desperation, knowing that they weren't going to be anyone when he came back. So you were patient, and honestly, I think it really paid off for you. We'll talk about that when we get to round 5 and 6 a little bit later in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Round 4 was kind of a mixed bag, free for all. Everyone we're taking quarterbacks, we're taking tight ends, we're taking running backs, receivers, everybody's getting everything. I jumped on Chris Godwin at 34, and this was kind of an interesting play. I've technically got him ranked behind Robert Woods and DJ Moore, who are still on the board. I like all three of them a lot, but this is where strategy sometimes trumps rankings. And so
for sure.
I'm thinking I've got three running backs. I'm pretty loaded there. I know my boy Ethan over here has got one running back and two stud receivers. Ethan and I have been back and forth on Chris Godwin and CeeDee Lamb and who's better and all that kind of stuff. So I know at least bare minimum, I've got some trade bait if I pick up Godwin, and I've got the running backs to pair him with to get one of his stud receivers and maybe some running back he gets later. Plus, I like Godwin. So it's not like if it doesn't work out, right, I'm stuck with a crappy player. You know, like, I like the guy a lot. I had him last year, performed really well for me. So I went ahead and jumped on it. And he's my wide receiver one at this point, which is, I don't think, I think he's a wide receiver one, but I had three running backs, you know?
But I mean, if he's your wide receiver one, that's nothing to balk at. I mean, you're still, considering the three running backs you have, that's a solid wide receiver one, considering what you already have.
This is what happens to your team. You know, you start putting together, it's going to look a little bit different. So you say wide receiver one, people don't maybe traditionally think, they think DeAndre Hopkins, they think AJ Brown, like those guys are getting notoriety. You're going to put together some real nice, probably wide receiver two talent that can perform at a one any given game. And he does have that. He has that ability for sure. So honestly, I like taking Godwin there.
And this is honestly one of the best parts about the draft is the unpredictability. You know, we went on and on in our draft episode about the perfect lineups and who you think we should get in a certain round. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what people are doing. And as Kemper says, you got to follow trends. Did Kemper think he was going to get three running backs in the first three picks? No. But the fact that the talent was there, it just fit for his team. You know, then he knew in the fourth round, okay, I got to get my top tier wide receiver. And to have it be a Godwin, considering what he got, is great. And, you know, the unpredictability is the fun of it. And that's where the skill comes in, being prepared. And he didn't stress. He didn't freak out when he didn't have a wide receiver in round four. He knew his strategy, and it paid off when able to get a good value there with Godwin.
And I knew too, and I think we both did going into this thing, and you just happened to be in the slot you were in. It makes sense to go receiver second and third round, honestly. There's just right. The studs are there and the stud running backs are gone. We mocked these things so many times. We knew what this is going to look like. From the two, you're probably going to have to get a fourth or fifth round running back. From the three, mm-hmm. you're going to go, or from the seven, you're going to get two running backs first two rounds, and you're going to have to get your wide receiver one is going to be someone like Godwin. So no surprises there, really. I was happy with it. Taking in stride. Ethan ends up at 39. This I thought was really interesting. George Kittle's still there. We're talking this end of the fourth round. And this is a real dilemma.
To be honest, yes, I was a little torn because I am not usually one who drafts a tight end high. I just don't, you know, if it was obviously a Kelsey, a Waller is kind of borderline for me. I just generally don't take tight ends that high. But I was in a position here where I knew I had two stud wide receivers. I had a stud running back. I knew I needed to get another running back. And so here I'm looking, I have two picks in the next four. It's because I'm at the eight, you know, I'm picking ninth, and then two picks happen after me, and then it's my pick again. So I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, who's still on the board and who's going to make it back to me in three picks? So I'm looking at running backs. I'm thinking, yeah, I desperately need to get at least one running back in this swing. Who should I take? Who's going to be available? And so I'm looking at it, and then I see George Kittle's on the board, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, he's a top talent. I can't necessarily pass on him. Can I still get a running back if I take Kittle here in the fourth round? And I decided, looking at who was available, the team that was beneath me, who he might take, thinking, okay, he doesn't have a tight end yet. Kittle is hard to pass. So I decided to go with Kittle, knowing that on my swing back three picks later, I was taking a running back, and I was happy to see who was still available, that I knew, okay, there are two or three running backs I would take in these next three picks, and I know at least one of them is going to come to me. So I ended up taking Kittle with the hopes that I would get one of my running backs three picks later, which I was happy with.
Yeah, that's masterful analysis, I would say. Knowing the draft room, knowing what your other teams have already taken too. You can pull up the draft grid and you can see what other teams have already. Does this guy really need another running back? Is this guy still going to be here when he comes back? So Ethan, knowing there are three picks between this one and his next one, said, I gotta have at least two running backs that I really like, that I feel comfortable getting. And he looked at James Robinson. He looked at Miles Sanders. And he said, okay, this guy can take one of those. That's okay, as long as I get the other one on my next turn around. And that's exactly what happened, which worked out perfectly. I thought that was that played out really well for you. And to have missed running back, your second running back in the first three rounds, the first four rounds in this case, I think you really lucked out and pulled together a really nice team here. And then the other note here is, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man. That was just so nice.
I need to stop being so nice. I think we need to create more of a rivalry here. So
just wait till we play each other. That's going to be a great episode.
Rivalry week.
Rivalry.
All right. So The other note here is Chris Carson goes to the guy that always gets Chris Carson and Adam Thielen every year.
I kid you not. He always has Chris Carson. Like, why? But hey.
And Adam Thielen.
Not a bad player. He just always gets him.
Happens to be the guy who had Eckler and Kelsey as well. The guy's getting a lot of play in this.
Also happens to be the guy who never washed his towel in college. Same guy. Kevin is remembering this story.
Oh my god. I went to see him in San Francisco, all right? And we like staying with him, right? And we go out and hang out in this real
Tell me, was it the same towel was still there?
Dude, hang on there. Hang on there.
Oh, sorry.
Lassie.
Sorry.
Golly. We're hanging out. It's this really sweet place, all right? And they've got a great patio area outside and like it's a killer setup. And all of a sudden, we're going to wipe down the couches outside that have some like leaves and stuff on them. His wife pulls out the towel from some little basket they have outside. And I mean, jaws dropped when we saw this thing.
How did you not call me right at that point? At least FaceTime. It's like, look at what made an appearance.
I feel like we did, but I don't know. Maybe not. It was epic. It was epic. I'll just say that.
Wow. Aaron, well done. For nostalgia's sake, to hold on to that. I'm surprised it hasn't just disintegrated, but you know.
It stands up on its own. So it, you know, you don't need it. You don't even need a bin for it. You just set it outside and it'll just stand up. So of course that went into the hole. Yeah, we got to go into the history of it and it was a fun trip down memory lane.
Great.
All right, let's get to the fifth round here. This is where Ethan strikes back. He's got second pick in the fifth round, and lo and behold, James Robinson did go to the team after him, just as he predicted. Yep. Yet Miles Sanders is still there. So Ethan jumps on Miles Sanders at 42. I think the patience paid off. I think that's a really solid RB2 this year. He's got the capability to hit RB1 for you anytime. And I think his floor is RB3. He catches passes. He's a good runner. He's maybe a little injury prone, but who isn't in that position, you know?
I mean, I was happy. And again, coming into the draft, my expectation was not to get my second running back in the fifth. But how my draft has gone so far, I was happy with Sanders in the fifth and where I got him. I thought it was a good value. I think it fell well for me and I'm okay with it. I was good with it.
Yeah, that was a great pickup. Once again, my asshole brother snaked me. Here comes Dak Prescott at 44, which is 10 picks before his average draft position. And guess who he drafts him before? Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. Like, in what draft have you been in where this guy's going before those two? This is very clearly a vendetta pick. This is very clearly a stick-it-to-me pick. And just if you're listening, just so you know, I'm coming for you. Not to come trade. I'm not trading. I'm not getting those players. You can have them. They're great. You've already seen they're great.
He's breaking knees.
Yeah. I'm coming for you.
Honestly think Creighton was probably just listening to the podcast as he went to sleep. He just has it in the background. It's like, Dak Prescott, CD Lamb, must get them. No matter the cost, whatever it takes.
It's like that draft day movie with Kevin Costner. He's got it in his pocket. You know, he pulls it out. He's like, Dak Prescott, whatever it takes.
Wow. Yeah, first of all, quite the movie reference. Raise your hand if you have seen Draft Day. I think out of 10 people, maybe two, but I have seen it. Solid movie. I will give you
solid
that
movie,
but not many people have seen it.
Well, they need to go watch Draft Day.
Kevin Costner actually just plays Kevin Costner. He doesn't have a character. It's just he's himself.
Yeah, I think they call him Kevin Costner, don't they?
It's like, no one corrected it in editing. It's fine. It's him. It's good.
It's fine. All right. So after Dak, someone does grab Kyler Murray, probably amazed that he was still there. And the wave on the second tier tight ends go. So Kyle Pitts goes first, actually, to an ATL homer, which is not at all surprising given the crowd. He goes ahead of Andrews and Hockenson. And then Mark Andrews goes at the end of the round as well. I cried for a while again, having lost now Dak and CD. And I ended on Deontay Johnson as my wide receiver 2 at 47. I think he's a great PPR play.
All right, another question for you here, Kemp. I mean, I know obviously you love CD, you love Dak. Would you have taken Dak there in that round? Had he still been available, would you have taken him? I know you took Deontay Johnson. Would you have taken Dak?
Here's where the analysis that you did comes in for me. Mm-hmm. So I would look at the three guys behind me and see if they have a quarterback yet. you know, see what kind of what's shaken out. In this case, like if Creighton hadn't taken Dak and like Kyler, like I think Kyler could have still been available if he hadn't taken Dak. Like I think that once you take Dak, I think it sparks people to think, okay, this might be the run.
I gotta take a quarterback.
Yeah. And so that, you know, now you go, you know, Kyler and Lamar start going off too, right? So if that hadn't happened, and let's say all three of them were still available with me, I absolutely would not have had to take Dak there, because I think Kyler and Lamar in every draft I've done have gone before him.
Sure.
But in the sixth round, by the sixth round, I certainly would have. If Kyler right. and Lamar were gone and we're sitting here and I'm in my draft position, I probably would have had to. Yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, if I wanted to get him, if I wanted to, I probably would have had to if I wanted to get him that badly. Now, as we talked about in the pre-draft with the perfect draft strategy, I might have still skipped him knowing that I could have come back for Russell Wilson later. And even honestly, sure. knowing that I would have been comfortable with Herbert, Brady, Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, all those guys as well. Like I wasn't locked in on having to get Dak in this draft. Because one thing I'll right. say is if you're in a lot of leagues, then you can let a guy slip in one league as long as you have exposure to him in another league and can still root for him or whatever. Like you don't have to get those. I don't have to have CeeDee Lamb on every single roster. I try to get him right. on every roster. I'm not going to totally force it. I think in all honesty, I probably would have skipped Dak in this round and jumped on him in the next round.
I think what's also a crucial point you just said is once again, you were prepared and you were, as you said, you were happy to get a Russell Wilson later or, you know, one of the quarterbacks you mentioned. I think that's a crucial point. So you don't have to stress out saying, oh my gosh, I have to get Dak Prescott in this round or my draft is screwed. Or, oh my gosh, if he's gone, I don't know what to do. You obviously would have liked to get him. You thought you probably would have looked at him in the sixth round, but you then also didn't freak out when he was gone because you're like, okay, knowing my strategy, I am completely happy with a Russell Wilson later or completely happy with a Justin Herbert later. And I think that is truly important. And you played that well. Obviously you're pissed. It's also your brother, which makes it worse, but
yeah,
overall it did not impact your draft approach, which I think is great.
Yeah, I've been in enough drafts, and I've been in enough drafts with him specifically to know this is something like this is going to happen. It's super annoying that he gets both Dak and CD, but listen, I got to draft my team, you know, and I know how to do that, and I've practiced a lot for that, and I've been through this rodeo with him before too. So whatever, I get Deontay Johnson. I'm happy with it. Sixth round we come back, and I think we've got that run on the leftover starting running backs. You got like Mike Davis, Myles Gaskin, Chase Edmonds, Darrell Henderson, Damian Harris. All of these guys go in this round. And those are good guys to be maybe an RB2 or definitely a flex. So people are just making sure they've got their starting lineup set up here. Lamar sure. goes to the top of this round. So he's at 51, which is pretty late for him, I think. I got 54th pick here. I jumped on TJ Hockenson, who's still available, who I think is at the end of that second tier of tight ends with Pitts and Andrews and Hawk. I got Hockenson.
To tell you the truth, I don't even necessarily see him as the end of that second tier. You know, I think he's right up there with Andrews and Pitts. I don't even see him. I see those three. You could take any of those and can be completely happy. So the fact that you get Hawk in that third run, that's a good pick.
Yeah, I actually have him fourth behind Kittle this year. So I had him ahead of Pitts and Andrews in my personal rankings. I think the overall rankings typically go Andrews, Hockenson, Pitts in that yep. order. But I like him the best of those three. So I was pretty stoked to be able to still get him in the sixth. And then I don't have to worry about tight ends because you play tight end roulette at the end of the draft. And there's some good names out there that we like, but they're kind of like high upside guys. You know, I feel really good having him. I think the offense goes through him. So I feel good about that. Poor Ethan in this round. You got snaked a couple times. The two picks before you. Yeah. So he's kind of got Jerry Jeudy and Damian Harris both queued up. And literally the two picks before you're up. Jerry Judy's gone. Damian Harris is gone.
Damian Harris. Because you know. What I was looking at in round six is, you know, I had two running backs at this point, and I wanted to feel comfortable with getting a third solid running back. And I had Damian Harris. I was high on him, especially with Cam gone now in New England. Obviously, I'm a homer guy. Patriots pick would have been nice. And I liked him. And I was figuring he was going to be a great pick in the sixth and just where I was and the makeup of my team, he would have fit perfectly. I also would have been happy with a Jerry Jeudy just because, again, just to have some backups for my wide receivers. But yeah, they both got snaked. One by your brother. So he's just doing great this draft. Thanks, Creighton. Just thanks.
Yeah. So well, I guess we spoon-fed it to him.
No kidding. So after that, after getting snaked, I ended up with Myles Gaskin at the end of round six, which again is my third running back. I'm happy with, would have been happier with the Damien Harris, but they were all kind of in that running back clump of, as I saw for upside and potential. So I was happy with Gaskin, would have been happier with Harris, but I was happy where I got him in the sixth round.
Yeah, I like Gaskin a lot, actually. I had him last year on a couple of rosters, and I don't think people paid a whole lot of attention to how well he did. He was consistent. He got a lot of passing game usage. He scored a lot. The guy's good. And there was a whole lot of talk about Malcolm Brown coming to town and taking carries away and all that. And Malcolm Brown is just, he's a solid handcuff for a running back. He's not going to take it over anytime, ever.
No.
So I think Gaskin's going to be money for you, especially in the sixth round. He could return really good value. 2 miles on your team. I mean, I love that.
I was just going to say, I had to get some more trade bait for Kemper because your son is going to be happy with my team and not yours. So you're going to have to trade for one of them. You have to trade.
I know. That's exactly what you're doing is you take both the miles out of the pool.
Godwin for Gaskin straight up. Godwin for Gaskin.
Straight up.
Book, do it.
We may.
Do
it. Yeah. Do it. Do it. Do it. We had to work on that one. The last notable note here is Adam Thielen goes to the guy who always gets Chris Carson and Adam Thielen.
Can we just change it to towel? Goes to towel?
Towel. To the towel man. Seventh round, 7 wide receivers taken. So this is a pretty wide receiver heavy round. Ethan gets Robbie Anderson at wide receiver 3 for his wide receiver 3. I think it's a great value pick there. He's a 1A or 1B in Carolina, and they're going to air it out. Mm-hmm. He had a great season last year, and I think he'll be really solid for you. And I jumped back in here and took Russell Wilson and feel really good about him. He's one of my longtime favorites, so
dangerous. I like having him on the team. Let him cook.
Dangerous.
Danger.
Let him cook. He's a stud, man.
He is.
So hey, feeling pretty good at that.
If you look at our perfect draft, he was my quarterback for a perfect draft, and that's a great pick in the seventh round. You know, and as Kemper said, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, I mean, Russell Wilson, he would have been happy with any of them. And to get Russell in the seventh, great value. Great value.
Yeah, I'll take that. And, you know, when we did the, here are some guys you should be targeting in each round before we came up with our perfect rosters, Russell Wilson was on there in like the seventh or eighth round. If you didn't get Dak or you didn't get one of the top guys, if you really wanted to go that route, Russell Wilson in the seventh or eighth is an incredible value. So I felt great being able to snag him there. Eighth and ninth round were kind of lumped together. This is where the QB train for those top tier guys kind of came to an end. This is where Rodgers, Brady, Herbert, Tannehill, they all went in the eighth and ninth round. All really good values, I think, for every team who got them because they waited and got a bunch of good flex plays in the meantime, and they still got a stud quarterback. So they can end up outscoring some of those guys that went earlier. It's not a bad play at all. Mostly depth positions otherwise for the other rest of the two rounds. So depth being, you know, your first bench player, your second bench player, guys that you can flex, guys to cover for injuries, whatever.
Because you always got to look at the bye weeks too. You're talking about bench spots and depth. You always got to make sure, okay, my starters have a bye week this. I got to have a good backup for them that week because you don't want to have a huge drop off on those bye weeks. So this round is important to see those guys who could make an impact for your team just to provide that depth.
And this is about the time when you start noticing bye weeks, for me at least. It's I'll start true. Looking over my yeah. roster, oh, and I'll say, like, there's a lot of sevens on there, you know, that happened to me.
I think it's this league. I feel like seven is the death week for you.
Yep. What happened in another league, too, because CD and Dak, and I had Amari in that same league, and I also had, like, Calvin Ridley's got a seven, or Dalvin, or somebody's got a seven as well, and I'm just like, my whole team is on bye. We'll make it work. That's about the time you start realizing when you start looking at extra pieces, you're like, let's make sure they don't have the same bye week, which I never said the rest of the draft, you know, because I just want best player available. And all of a sudden it matters. So in these two rounds, I got Antonio Brown at 74 and Deebo Samuel at 87. I think those are two really great value picks. They're not actually starters. One of them is going to start for me, and I started AB this past week. One of them is going to start for me at least, but I think either one could. And if I have a flex one of them or if somebody gets injured, I feel great about both these guys. I'm high on both these guys preseason, so I feel good about having him on my team in general. Ethan went with his quarterback, homer pick, Tom Brady. Excellent value pick at 79, and he gets swings back around at Cortland Sutton at 82.
I was going to say, and you know, in eighth, ninth round, and all the mock drafts I was doing, I was happy to see where quarterbacks were falling in these rounds. Again, as we talked about, I was seeing Rodgers, Herbert, and Brady literally go in these rounds every time. So when we got to the eighth round and I still didn't have a quarterback, I was confident knowing that the one of these three guys was going to fall to me, because at this point, the majority of our league had drafted a quarterback. So I didn't necessarily have to worry about more than three quarterbacks going off the board. So I knew I was going to get one of these three guys. The fact that it was Tom Brady, my home pick, was kind of icing. Love the guy. And even at 44, he's still going to put up amazing numbers. So I was happy to get him here, and followed that up a few picks later with Cortland Sutton in Denver. Again, didn't play last year, but I think he has a good upside. So that's kind of rounding out my bench, looking at the bye weeks, and I was happy to get those two picks right there.
Yeah, I think Sutton is a stud. He didn't do much this first week, but I think he's going to bounce back. He and Judy are both excellent receivers, top pedigree, really good targets for Bridgewater. And so they're going to take what the defense gives them. And some weeks, I think Sutton's going to be a monster. So great pick there at 82, ninth round. You know, this was a guy who was like a top 15, top 20 receiver when he was healthy years ago. So it's just people just kind of
talk
about stuff.
Talk about 19th or ninth round and top 15. AB, Antonio Brown. How long ago was he in the first round? A couple years ago, and now he's going in the ninth? I mean, sheesh.
Yeah. The only question with him, two things really, I guess, are his conditioning,
if
which
he's gonna be
did
in
not
jail.
Seem to be an issue. And then if he's going to beat up a mailman or something. So, I mean, who knows? All right, let's get to the 10th round here. We got Sony Michel going to the UGA guy. We got Kenyon Drake going to the Bama guy. Cole Beasley going to the guy who always gets Cole Beasley. This is where start to see those tendencies.
Was Cole Beasley on anyone's draft boards in the top 14 rounds?
I mean, the 10th round even, right? Probably not. He's one of those guys I mentioned in the pre-draft show where it's like, he's one of the few guys I would consider taking that has such a floor and ceiling that are close to each other. Like, he's going to get you 6 for 60 every week. Maybe every now and then throw in a touchdown. But he's going to get you 10, 12. Every now and then he'll get you a 20-point week, and that's great. But he's probably not often going to go that high. But if you need someone who's just, hey, I need 15 points in this spot. I need 10, 12 points in this spot. He's money in the bank. So in a deep PPR league, go for it.
He went for it.
He went for it. He shot his shot. Cole Beasley. All right. I went with Michael Pittman at 92. Ethan grabbed Leonard Fournette at 97. Again, we're stashing these guys that have shown potential in the past and are depth pieces for the guys that we've got. You can start them at some point.
So real quick about Leonard Fournette, it was kind of interesting. I knew I kind of wanted another running back to fill out my bench, and I was looking at the Bucs, and I said, do I go Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones? And I went with Fournette just kind of on a gut feeling that towards the end of the season, he was looking stronger. And especially if you look at the playoffs, Fournette was a beast for him. And they were really looking to him to get the tough yards and obviously more of the goal line plays. So I took Fournette over Ronald Jones, even though Ronald Jones is technically the starter. But I felt confident with what he could do. And again, he's going to be on my bench for most of the year unless injuries and or whatnot. But he has a high ceiling. And so that's why I took him instead.
He's got much greater touchdown potential. He's a monster of a man. And he's also randomly last year, he was like their third down back. Like, I don't know. He just became like the pass catching running back. So, gosh, if you're going to pass to that guy and you're going to put him at the goal line, in a PPR league especially, I think he's the one you want in Tampa Bay. So that was a great pick late in the draft. 11th round, Ethan grabs Devin Singletary, and I took Jalen Hurts, my boy. I told you I would be backing up with Jalen Hurts. 10th, 11th round.
We knew it was
there
coming.
It was.
There he is. 11th round.
There he is.
That's good.
11th round. And we got a couple, you know, we got a Bama homer in here, so I was afraid he wouldn't make it back. So I went ahead and jumped on that. But I think both those are, again, these are more bench pieces, backup. Singletary's a guy like he could pop. I mean, he could take over that backfield and he could really pop. He looked really good in the preseason at least. And we're not really sure who's going to be in charge there. So why not take a shot on him, stash him away for now.
Yep.
And Hurts, you know how I feel about Hurts. 12th round, the wide receiver flyers start going here. This is a lot of the young guys are going. I was really torn in this pick. I think I remember we were talking about this. I was torn between Jalen Waddle, who I'm pretty high on, but I also looked around and Michael Thomas is sticking around, and I mentioned him in our pre-draft. You know, I know most people are forgetting about him, but there's a couple guys in this draft room that I know have got him queued up. I know they're thinking about it. And so I wasn't sure which one to go with, kind of hemmed and hawed. I went ahead and jumped on Michael Thomas just to piss some people off. Pulled the trigger. And Waddle went with the very next pick. So
he did.
He was gone. So that you got snaked on Mike Williams.
I did get snaked. I mean, granted, these are not like the high profile guys where it's not too upset getting snaked on, but it's just annoying. It's like, all right, yeah, this is a good late round pick. I can take him. Literally the pick before me. So I end up going with Marvin Jones on the Jags. But coincidentally, even though he's been on the Lions the past, I don't know, 3-4 years, Marvin Jones has this weird stat that over the past 3 seasons, I think he is only one of a handful of players to average double-digit touchdowns. Am I right, Kemp?
Yeah, I think that's right. It's something incredible. You'd be like, oh, that makes something sense. It's weird. Like people like Devontae Adams, you're like, yeah, of course he's always got like, you know, 10, 12, 14 touchdowns, and Tyreek Hill. And you're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Oh, and Marvin Jones Jr.
throw him in the mix.
Record squeal like, so yeah, that's a great pick in the 12th round. We weren't sure at the time, obviously, who the number one's going to be in Jacksonville. They got three guys that are all kind of the same caliber. And so I think it's a great dart throw, and he's got a lot of upside, and he's a touchdown maker. So
get it up. I feel like Trevor Lawrence just kind of looked for that veteran presence to kind of be a safety valve. So as I said, we're throwing darts at this point. I figured it's worth the throw.
13th round, Ethan grabs his boyfriend, Matt Ryan, at 122. You love some Matt Ryan.
He went to Boston College and
Boston,
and he lost to Toronto. So I would just like to point out, I have both starting quarterbacks from Super Bowl 51. Just it's championship pedigree. Championship pedigree.
Absolutely. I have both sub 6 foot quarterbacks. So boom. How about that?
Well,
as I told you, I would. In this round, I grabbed JD McKissick. I mean, partially as a backup for Gibson if something happens there. Although I don't think he's like a full-time starter, but he had standalone value last year's top 30 guy. He caught a lot of passes. And I kind of figured like, yeah, you never know. Like we talked about James White at one point, like he's a guy that has standalone value in PPR leagues. And so I think McKissick is kind of the next generation of James White. So I'll stash him on the bench and hang on to him. And if I need to drop him midseason for a waiver, then he's probably the first to go, you know? And then 14th round, I jumped on Jonnu Smith, and Ethan took Tony Pollard. Podcast star Tony Pollard's got a lot of play on this podcast.
Star. Kemper loves his Cowboys and his handcuffs. Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard. I guess so. Jonnu Smith, somebody I just think is I watched him in Tennessee here for the last several years. Never got as much love as he should have, but when he got the ball in his hands, man, the guy is freakishly talented. I'm excited to see what he does with Mac Jones.
I was going to say, in New England, they always love those two tight end sets, you know, with him and Hunter Henry. I think that's a great duo right there. Mac Jones, I think, is a better quarterback suited for them than Cam Newton would have been. So, no, Jonnu Smith, great backup tight end. Last pick of the draft. Why not?
Yeah, why not? And I'll get to this in a minute, but with drafting Michael Thomas, the fun thing here is that we get to throw him into the IR slot, which gives me an option after the draft to pick up an additional player. So we'll get to that here in a second. But E, how'd you feel about your draft? How'd you feel about it when it was all said and done?
All said and done, I was pretty happy with it. Again, the two spot is not typically my favorite spot. And so it did kind of change up my strategy a little bit. Again, the Kittle pick kind of threw me for a loop. The fact that he was still there. And so it kind of made me rethink who I should get, go for running back or whatnot. But overall, I'm pretty happy. I love my two stud wide receivers, with Robbie Anderson being my third. I think that's a great value at the third wide receiver. Obviously, Dalvin Cook doesn't need anything to be said. And to be able to get Miles Sanders as my second running back in the fifth round, I'm happy with that. To let me get Kittle in the fourth. So overall, I'm pretty happy. Pretty happy.
Yeah.
Even if I thought you had a great, the second great pick has one of the least highest success rates. But hey, let's buck the trend. We're doing that here.
Yeah, trends are, they're made to be broken. Tell us your team. Let's run through your squad.
All right, starting at QB, we got Tom Brady. Wide receivers are DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Brown, and Robbie Anderson. Running backs, we got Dalvin Cook, Miles Sanders. Tight end, George Kittle, with my flex going to Miles Gaskin.
Love that. Love that. That's a stud starting lineup. And you got depth in every position. You backed him up on your bench. You got a number one tight end. You got a number one quarterback. You got a number one running back. I mean, you've got advantages at each position, which I think is what you're shooting for here. And you got consistent guys too. You know, so you got a good mix of high upside and consistent guys. So you shouldn't be doing that roller coaster in your scoring. You know, it shouldn't be like 100 points this week, 170 next week. I've had those teams where I'm all upside and people are like terrified to play you because they could hit you in the wrong week and all your guys go off. But other weeks, you drop a total dud.
All right, Kemp, now that we heard mine, let's hear about your squad.
All right, here's a dream team. We're starting off with my man, Russ, Danger Russ, let him cook, Russell Wilson, quarterback. Wide receivers, I'm going Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson, and Antonio Brown. Doubled up on the Bucks. Didn't hurt me the first week, certainly. I've got some depth with Debo, so we'll see how that plays out. Maybe I'll trade one. We'll see. Running backs, I got my man Jonathan Taylor and Antonio Gibson. TJ Hockenson at the tight end and David Montgomery at the flex. Pretty well-rounded crew, in my opinion. I don't see any flaw here.
I mean, no, once again, across the board, just all solid. Your three running backs are set. I mean, obviously, Taylor's tier, top tier. And then, heck, Antonio Gibson can be in that conversation. And to have Montgomery as your third, it's just that's just sweet and deep. And to have a running back as your flex is great. Hockenson, you got great value to get him when you did. And he's a great addition for a tight end. And I know there could be some concern with the double Tampa Bay wide receivers, but week one showed there's plenty of ball to go around when Brady's slinging. So I don't see that necessarily being a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm here for it, man. And if Brady's going to look like he did one more year, gelling with those receivers, might as well throw them all in there. Throw all three of them and Gronk. I mean, they're all going to be money.
Yeah, holy crap. Gronk, I forgot about Gronk too.
Yeah, that's right. Gronk goes to the guy who always gets Gronk. No surprises. All right, let's. That does it for the draft recap. We're going to go into a couple of friendly bets here. And as a reminder, we need you guys to hit us up with the loser's punishment. You can do that on our Fold in the Cheese official Facebook page, or you can email that. I have an email address because I'm
what
official. Yeah, that's right. Kemper@foldinthecheese.com. How you like that? Hook a brother up. We got one for each position group here between the quarterback, running back, and wide receivers. We're not doing a tight end bet because that's ridiculous, let's be honest. But we got a couple good ones for the quarterbacks here. So we all know Ethan loves his boyfriend, Matt Ryan, from Boston College.
Okay, so, but first let's just put a quick timeout here just so we can explain the picks a little bit. Obviously, you guys know we did our preseason ranking. So we put our top 20 quarterbacks, top 50 wide receivers and running backs. So what we did here, we obviously weren't going to say, all right, who's going to be better? Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. It's not that. We looked at our rankings and we saw a couple discrepancies. So we wanted to go with a little more interesting flip on it, a little more interesting take, and kind of see where we saw those discrepancies between each other and then see who could win that matchup. So these might not be your highlighter, headliner names, but they're going to be spectacular. So, yes, coming in the quarterback position, we got my boy, Matty Ice.
Yeah. So, Ethan ranks Matt Ryan at 13, right? When I see his rankings, that's the first thing that just jumped off the page to me. I'm thinking, first 12 Super guys, we're all pretty much the same.
Super Bowl starting quarterback.
Yeah, we all remember that Super Bowl as well. I was in Atlanta during that Super Bowl. I remember that very well. So, he's got Matt Ryan at 13, and I've got Matt Ryan at, like, you know, 23 or something, like way down the list. I'm thinking, this dude's smoking something. So, okay, we need to put a little bet together on this one. I, on the other hand, you've heard me talk about Justin Fields quite a bit, who I'm real high on this season. And I said if he gets the starting job, I'd rank him at 12 overall. And right ahead of Tannehill, right behind Stafford. So I thought, hey, let's do Matt Ryan versus Justin Fields. Problem is, Fields isn't a starter yet, right? Matt Ryan versus Justin Fields, when he starts, like, you know, how you gonna, it's like kind of lame, like, how you gonna do this? So we decided that we're going to do Matt Ryan versus the Chicago quarterback. It's going to include the red rifle, Andy Dalton.
If you think about it, it's kind of ludicrous that we're going Matt Ryan versus Chicago quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly going to be Andy Dalton. But as we saw this week, you know, Fields is going to jump in there and he's going to get some action. Got himself a touchdown already. Hell, we could do Fields versus Ryan straight up because Fields is still going to be getting some touchdowns until he becomes a starter. But we don't know what's on the minds of the coaching staff there. I think he's going to start sooner than later, but who knows? So we're going to say Matt Ryan versus the Chicago quarterbacks, hopefully Justin Fields sooner than later. I'm going to say the Chicago quarterbacks have more fantasy points this season than Matt Ryan.
Yep, so we track them all year long. We got a big bet board where we'll put it up, and we'll track each of their fantasy points throughout each week, and as Kemp said, at the end of the season, see who has the higher total. And it's going to be Matty Ice. Do it. Matty Ice.
Do it. Do it. Chicago Bears. Do it. Moving on to the running backs. Again, pretty similar here in the top 10, 12 guys. You know, so we had a lot of the same rankings. You got guys shuffled one spot or two here and there. But the one that stood out in this case, I had David Montgomery at 13. Ethan had him at 17. Not a huge difference, but sizable enough. He happened to have Chris Carson at 12, and I had him at 17. So we're talking almost direct inverse here. That makes for a perfect bet. I say David Montgomery is going to have more fantasy points this year than Chris Carson.
And I'm going with Chris Carson. Do it. Chris Carson, do it. Although it is kind of interesting now. You got the Chicago quarterbacks, and now you got the Chicago running back.
That's a terrible mistake. Why would I do that?
You are going all in on the Bears. All in.
Give me Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet, do it.
Yeah, let's switch the title. Bacardi and Cola, do it.
Y'all, if you haven't seen Starsky and Hutch, the remade movie, 2004, with...
Do it.
Yeah, you've got Owen Wilson's in that, and...
Ben Stiller
is Starsky. I mean, you got Vince Vaughn in that movie. Snoop Dogg is in that movie, randomly. Jason Bateman's in there. I mean, it was buried in the middle of all those other great comedies in there, like Wedding Crashers and Old School and Anchorman. I mean, all those were all in that same time.
Your classic early 2000s. But let's be honest, it also has every kid who grew up in the 90s girlfriend crush of Carmen Electra. She was in the movie. Come on.
Had a poster of her in my room. Yeah, I love me some Carmen Electra. You remember she was on Singled Out? You remember that?
I didn't have cable, but I would watch it at my friend's house.
Yeah, it was Jenny McCarthy was the first Singled Out chick, and then it was Carmen Electra. Yeah.
Wow.
Little tidbit, random tidbits. Yeah. Anyway, so that movie's great. You got to check it out. Dan Finnerty and his band. Dan Finnerty and his band at that bat mitzvah for Vince Vaughn's daughter. Oh, some of the best stuff you've ever seen.
Hey, pop quiz. What did Vince Vaughn get his daughter for her bat mitzvah?
Was it a pony?
It was a pony. And what happened to the pony?
It died, I think.
Because Starsky shot it.
He shot it. That's right. That's right. Oh, did they think it was smuggling drugs or something? Because
drugs was in a it was in a giant box, and so he's like, "We got drugs behind there." And it goes bam, 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 and then he unveils a horse.
Oh my god! Oh, the movie is classic. It's a forgotten classic, or most people maybe didn't even know about it. It's great. You got to check it out. Let's move on to receivers here. This is going to be a super obvious one because we've both been talking about these two forever. Obviously, I've got CD at my number 5 receiver. Dumb Ethan over here has him at 17.
Hey, I'd just like to point out, CD was top 5 in the NFL last year in passes dropped. And what happened week one?
Don't care.
What happened week one? Threw to him, dropped it, intercepted.
Don't care.
So that should be negative points. Negative points.
I don't care if Dallas loses the games. I don't care if he causes other teams to score. I don't care what happens. They're still going to throw it to him. He's a freak. He's still going to catch 8 passes every game. He's still going to get 100 yards every game. He's going to get a touchdown every game. Top 5 for me. Top 5. He's number 5. Ethan over here says 17 because he's a loser. And just so you know, I'll give you a little stat from last year. In the 5 games he played with Dak Prescott last year before Dak got hurt, CD averaged 17.9 points per game, which was top 10 receiver in the league, ahead of DK Metcalf, right in line with Justin Jefferson, Keenan Allen in that territory. Quarterback play obviously took a big hit when old Ben DiNucci came in there and started slinging it around. CD still had a great year, but
he did.
When he's with Dak, it's money in the bank.
It's a special matchup. The only thing I was just worried about with CD was just, again, kind of spreading the ball around. But then, which is interesting, because my pick was Chris Godwin. I'm really high on Godwin. I actually got to watch him at Penn State when I was there, and he was just a freak of an athlete. He was the safety valve for any Penn State quarterback, and he was a stud. I like what he's done with Tom just in the one season. Obviously, he was a little skewed last year because he was hurt for a little bit, but I just like him a lot. I like his big play ability, and so far he's gelled with Tom. I think this is going to be a great matchup between Chris Godwin and CD. I think this will be a good one to watch all year.
Yeah, funny enough, I had Godwin at 17 as well, so I'm the idiot there on Godwin. We're sitting perfect again, and I say CeeDee Lamb is going to have more fantasy points this year than Chris Godwin.
Well, I say Chris Godwin, do it, do it,
do it, do it, do it.
All right, we got 3 bets going on the do it board, and we're going to wrap this thing up. Reminder, send us some punishments on the Fold in the Cheese Facebook page. Send me an email, Kemper@foldingthecheese.com. We'll be back with recaps of this week's action and some waiver pickups for you in the next episode.
Yes, sir. So keep listening. And as always, keep folding that cheese.
Fold it.